Good morning, everyone. Wanted to talk a little bit this morning, if I could. I've had some thoughts here of late on the only begotten Son of God, and it seems to me that there's a truth in the Bible that we need to look at in order to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. There's a passage of scripture I'm going to read here in a minute, but it asks the central question, why do the heathen rage? And heathen sounds a very strong word, but it is what our flesh does. We rage against God. It's probably like Satan was in the garden. He says, surely God hath not said, you'll surely die. And doth he know, that you would be as gods? And so that's the central question I have is, does our flesh rage against God so that we will try to be as gods, but not of God? And so I have some questions for us this morning, and I'll read the passage in a minute in Psalms 2. And I want to concentrate on the idea, do we make gods of our own choosing in religion, or do we trust and believe that we are of God and that he has made us, he has begotten us, so that we can worship him in spirit and truth? But we need to lay aside our thoughts of the flesh and our own attempts to acquire our own eternal life. As Brother Marty has preached in the past, our eternal life is not evolution. It's not something we evolve into. It's something that we're created into. And we're created in Christ Jesus through his work. And so the questions I have that might help to see a little bit of answers to that is, why does the Word of God teach both the Son of God and the Son of Man? And is there a difference, and what is it? Does our religion neglect to teach both in proper understanding? When I was growing up, I really don't ever remember a sermon in my Southern Baptist upbringing when someone preached on the Son of Man. It was always about the Son of God. And the Son of God is very important. But unless we see him both, Jesus Christ is both the Son of God and the Son of Man, we neglect a great salvation. And we'll read a little bit about that in Hebrews here in a second. So I didn't really understand the difference between the Son of God and Son of Man, but yet our salvation lies in that, because we have a perfect man who is our brother and our example, and that we can live as he did on earth through our new nature, and be just like Christ. We're living again in us and through us. There's some passages of scripture that are interesting where Satan and the demons and the devils even acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And it says that they believe, but they have no redemption. It's interesting that while Jesus was on earth, born of Mary, the seed of woman, as declared in Genesis 3:15, that he would bruise the head of Satan, that the Bible declares that he is the eternal Son of God, but he was begotten in time as the Son of Man to do something, to secure our eternal life, to purchase us out of the hands of Satan, that had taken the whole human race captive. And even during the time that the Lord was tempted after 40 days of fasting, the devil came to him and essentially says, you're the Son of God. make these stones into bread? Well, Satan knew that he was the Son of God, that he was deity in the flesh, that he was, what he wanted to do is to have Jesus Christ use his deity for his own purpose. So that he would, what? He would then be the spotted lamb, and he would not be able to be the sacrifice for sin. So Jesus Christ never did anything in and of his, with his deity for himself. He worked through the full measure of the power, through the Spirit of God in him as the Son of Man. Lived the perfect life for 33 and a half years with full measure of faith, and that which worketh by love. And we see that Jesus Christ, being the Son of Man, is spoken of many times in the Bible, but for some reason, I missed all those passages not being preached on when I was growing up. And I just viewed the Lord as deity in the flesh, which he is deity in the flesh, but he lived a perfect human life. And he died a perfect death to his Father spiritually and physically. He died. So let's look at the difference then between the Son of Man and the Son of God. I would equate this to a foundation. Our foundational truth of election is like a foundation that we build a house on. But we got to have a building, and we need a good carpenter to help us build a building. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ fills that role as the Son of Man, being the example that he is, so that we can live like him. And so in our new nature, we trust and believe in the Spirit of God in us and through us, just like Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, did and did the miracles that he did. So Jesus Christ did his miracles through the power of the Spirit of God in him. Jesus Christ, it says he grew in wisdom and in stature. That sounds like a man, a baby, growing up. I'd like to say something that might sound profound, but Jesus Christ, the man, was not all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was not all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. But we know that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. Well, the Spirit of God in full measure in him was all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. But the Spirit of God only revealed to the Son of Man what he needed to know at the time he needed to know it. And so, therefore, he did his miracles as the Son of Man, with full power of the Spirit of God in him. Isn't that what we are to do through our new nature? We are to rely on the Spirit of God in us to do the things that we do and trust and love God. Or else we're going to try to substitute our old nature to try to please God, which the Bible declares we can't. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. So we have in us old nature, which incidentally we are sons of man. But our connection with humanity through Adam is corrupt. But our connection through Jesus Christ, our elder brother and kinsman and redeemer, allows us to go in the presence of God. And only through the new nature can we do that. So let's look at Acts 2, 22 through 24 first, and then we'll read Psalms 2. After the crucifixion and on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." That means the Son of Man. "As ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Brothers and sisters, I believe that this is speaking of the time that he was made to be sin, who knew no sin, for 3 hours, from the sixth hour through the ninth hour. It was God the Father who raised him from that death. And he suffered as the Son of Man. He paid the price for our eternal damnation in the place that we deserve. So the lake of fire came to him on the tree. And he suffered as the Son of Man. I want to say another profound statement. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cannot be separated from God, nor can the Son of God experience eternal damnation. No Son of God, the Son of God, or no sons of God can ever experience eternal damnation. And the only being that's ever experienced the lake of fire is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, for 3 hours. He paid the price that we deserved in the place we deserve. Therefore, we have an elder brother who has been made kin to us. We are sin. He was made to be what we are in order to pay our price. So, in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Therefore, let all of Israel, house of Israel, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe that day their eyes were opened up to who this person was. And I believe if you go back to verse 22, a man approved of God, they understood that. You know, even the high priest, when Jesus was on trial, the priest declared, Are you the Son of God? He said, I am. I'm paraphrasing. But then he said later that you'll see the Son of Man coming in glory. Isn't it amazing that they were crucifying him for declaring that he was the Son of God, which he was, but it was the Son of Man that suffered? They didn't like the fact that this person, and they believed, I think, in many circles, believed that he was the illegitimate son of Joseph. That he was just a man claiming to be Son of God. Well, he wasn't just any man. He was the only begotten of God. And he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. In Mary, therefore, being the Son of Man, perfect, the Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. And Mary was declared by the angels that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall take away he will save his people from their sins. So I think what we have is, in religion, we're probably doing no different than the Pharisees in that trial of Jesus Christ. We're saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God, which you are, and you are the only begotten of God, which you are, but that's all. You're the Son of Man. We don't want to go there. But the Bible talks about it a lot. So we have to have someone made just like us, lower than the angels, that has to live a life that is completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I want to read Psalms 2 now and keep the idea in mind that heathen means unbelievers. It also means what we do in our flesh. We are heathen in our flesh because we want to be like, in Genesis it says, be as gods, and we deny being of God. So our flesh does that, and we got to be careful when we deny Jesus Christ as being the Son of God and the Son of Man. And even in John 3, Brother Marty mentioned a portion of that. But after that passage of John 3:16, it says light has come into the world. I believe Jesus Christ is the light. As the Son of Man, He is the Son of God, both together. Right now, praise God, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father as the Son of Man. And He comes back as the Son of Man on a white horse. So there's a lot written there that we need to understand. So let's read Psalms 2. Why do the heathen, which I believe is unbelievers, rage? Today we have a lot of raging going on in our world. In religious circles, though, this is going on too. And the people imagine a vain thing, which means emptiness, vanity, worthless thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. The Lord here is God the Father, and His anointed is Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, the Lord being the Father again. To speak, and derision means to speak unintelligibly or stammering. Then shall He speak, which means to declare unto them His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I, there is God the Father, have set my King Jesus Christ upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss, and I looked up that word in Greek, it means to fasten up, equip with weapons. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Just a little bit of history. We're taught in the Bible that God's children were chosen in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world by the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The covenant of grace was made by the Trinity. And we were chosen, and our names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, legally on the cross during the 3 hours of atonement, from the sixth hour through the ninth hour, purchased by the sacrifice of Himself, and He was, when He was made to be sin who knew no sin, thus paying His people's debt to God as our elder brother and kinsman redeemer. After living that perfect life of full faith in His Father, thus the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us for 33 and a half years as the Son of Man or Lamb of God, who is in the embodiment of the Godhead in physical form, and the eternal Son of God revealed as declared by the followers in Scriptures, and did save His people from their sin state of being. This salvation is the same for all people from Adam to the last child of grace whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it can go down to one cell baby. After physical conception, God can save that baby. So that's why I love what we believe, is that it's the same for everyone of all times. And it was through the merits of Jesus Christ on the cross during that 3 hours when He was made what we are. So furthermore, the Word of God declares that our Savior suffered first a spiritual death, our separation from His Father in body, mind, and spirit and burial in the place we deserve. So at 12 o'clock, there was no more light. God put out the light on the earth, and I believe the whole universe, and he made his son, the Son of Man, to be sin who knew no sin. And he suffered the same death that we deserved. If we have not a Savior, then we would be in eternal damnation one day after the great white throne judgment. But he took that punishment for us. And the Bible declares that we were in him during that time. All those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life were in him, but we didn't suffer. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't suffer. And it says, by Nebuchadnezzar, one like unto the Son of God in the furnace. So one like unto is the Son of Man. Then having satisfied the justice of God, which opened up the mercy of God to his elect, Jesus Christ then had the power to lay his own body down, went to heaven for 3 days, came back and picked up his body again, and stayed on earth for 40 days. Therefore, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, had two deaths, two burials, two resurrections, and two ascensions. And that's what we have. When we're born again, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're buried under that sin nature. And our first resurrection is being born again. So Jesus Christ experienced that in 3 hours. He had a death to God at 12. He was buried under the sin that he was made to be. And he suffered in the place we deserve to go. And then he was resurrected by his Father. We one day will die physically and buried in the ground. Jesus was buried for 3 days, and at the end of that, he was resurrected. Well, we're taught that our death and burial coming up in the future will occur, and thereafter, at the second coming of Christ, we will be raised again physically. The Lord's already had both of those. And 40 days later, he ascended to heaven. So he's already had two deaths, two burials, two resurrections, and two ascensions. And we too will have that. So what is he doing right now? He's ruling in heaven in his kingdom, and has been for the last 2,000 years until the last child of grace written in the Lamb's Book of Life is born again. I don't know when he'll come back after that, but there will never be another child of grace again. That will be it, because the last person written in the Lamb's Book of Life will have been born again. So, after he comes back and takes us home, and just prior to that, it talks about the false prophet and the beast and Satan and the fallen angels being put into lake of fire. They're going to be there eternally. And then the great white throne judgment occurs, and the books are open, and the non-elect are judged according to their works. Then us who have been taken off this earth will live for Christ forever, learning of his love. And we will see him as he is, and we will ever be grateful for what he has done for us. There's a couple verses I want to read and I did a little bit of a survey about Son of God and Son of Man. Usually it talks about either Son of God or Son of Man, or the Son, or the only begotten of Son. But in two verses or passages I want to read, it talks about the Son of God and Son of Man. John 5:25-27, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That sounds like our first regeneration. All right? So we have that because our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Son of God will speak life into us. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Isn't that amazing? So we got to see the proper focus between these two titles. The Son of Man is what lived a perfect life and paid a perfect death, so that we would be redeemed. But he is also the Son of God. So we need to understand that. In Matthew 26, 63 through 64, and this is a passage I referenced a while ago about when he was on trial, it says, "But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." I want to finish with Ephesians 4, some passages that kind of summarize this. 4, 1 through 8, and a few other verses. It says, "I therefore, Paul speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all, you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And here's the final passage I want to read. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man." That's the Son of Man. "Unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son here on earth and him taking a body and living a perfect life and then suffering what we deserve on the cross. We thank you, Father, that he sits at your right hand right now, ruling and reigning in a kingdom, Father, that one day he will leave and come and bring us home. Those that are here on earth, and we will be forever with thee, Lord, and we thank you so much for that love that you would give us and the mercy that you have shown us through having justice be satisfied in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given us. We ask thy blessings upon the rest of the service. We ask thy blessings on the sick, oh Father, that they would be restored. Thank you for this nation. Please help us, Father, to not rage against you, Lord, but to love you with all our hearts, minds, and strength. And we thank you, Father, again, and ask thy blessings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.